My name is Chris, for those of you who don't know me, and I'm just wonderful to be together again, and we feel just moved by this morning's, those of us who have been planning and praying for this morning, we just feel very moved by what the Lord has for us this morning. So I'm just going to do a quick introduction. For those of you that haven't been coming, our theme for the year is called Beyond All Measure. And we just felt the Lord wanted to speak to us about Him being more and us wanting more, more of what He has to offer us, and to expect and pursue Him for more. We're praying that we would embrace more of what is available to us and recognize what those measures are for us. So today we're talking about intercession. We're talking about the devoted heart of the Apostle Paul and what we can learn from him about. We're just learning all year about what Paul saw as compared to what many of us see is available to us. So there are three of us that are just going to share briefly. Paul is going to share about the power of God's love in us, the discipline that calls us to Christ-likeness, and how it really prepares the soil of our hearts for all that the Lord wants to pray through us, really that we are open to carry God's heart. And Dawn is going to share about devotion and just the power of when we are praying in a devoted way for people, in her case for everyone in her church, how it changes us as well as changing those that we're carrying in prayer. And then I'm going to talk about intercession at the end. And one of the things in the scriptures today are 1 Corinthians 4:14 and 15 that talks about Paul becoming a father in Christ, and he is praying for the fullness of Christ to develop in the Corinthians. And in Galatians, he's saying that for his little children, he's in the anguish of childbirth. He's travailing for them in prayer. And then we just slip into Romans, where he talks about what it means to have the Spirit pray through us. So I'm going to share some things, not necessarily about travailing in prayer so much as just the moving of the Holy Spirit in us when he prays through us. So Father, we just pray that each of us here would receive what you have for us individually today. And we give this time, this message time, to you, Holy Spirit, that you would come and speak the heart of the Father to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul, this is Paul Curry. He's been sharing a lot this year, and we really appreciate your perspective. And go for it. Lord, I just pray for Paul, because I know, Lord, that he is absolutely full to the brim of things that he could say. And I'm trusting, Lord, that he will just know exactly what will so please you as he speaks. Just bless him now. Amen.
It's nice to be prayed for, to be told not to go too long.
Oh, no.
No. Actually, I want to start with a prayer, too, if you'll join me. Lord, as we've sung this morning, and I believe I pray for all of us, Lord, as I witness here this morning that my words, my struggles, my thoughts before you are an offering of worship. Lord, as you grow me, as you grow all of us, everything we do and say and think is an offering before you of our lives, and I praise your name for that. May such be what is talked about this morning. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 4:14, excuse me, I got to write something down here. And he talks about, and witnessing to, how he is a type of the Father. He's speaking God's word about how God works in his life, is how God, Paul is witnessing to us. And so he's admonishing the Corinthians, but he's actually representing what God is doing and admonishing as his beloved children. And that's what I'm here to witness about this morning, is about how God's love to me, a beloved son, is full of love that is directing, disciplining, admonishing, but yet always vibrantly full of love and growth. The love of the Father is true and generous selfless love fathering and mothering in our lives. Some weeks ago, I had this sense of God reaching down, the Father reaching down and taking my hand and telling me he was holding my hand and walking with me while he was disciplining me, while he was walking with me through the trials in my life that he was guiding me through, and while he was walking with me through the circumstances that life throws my way. Things he's not bringing at me directly, but the evil one, powers and principalities of this world were bringing into my life. He's saying, I'm there. I'm with you. I've got your hand in my hand. I've got my arm around your shoulders. I am walking with you. Stay in me. Now, the love of my heavenly Father, I have struggled with for a long time versus the anger at my earthly father and mother. And eventually, through to teachers and leaders, others who have used power poorly, who have manipulated, who've actually taken the words of the text to manipulate me, to abuse me, to direct me so that it would serve them. That created a lot of confusion about my desires and needs. And those confusions, those manipulations left me with a lot of shame and fear that I struggle with. Now, I believe that we all struggle with shame and fear. It presents in different ways. The causes of it can be different in our lives, but we all struggle with shame and fear. It's taken me a long time to learn not to feel shame about having shame and fear, and not to be fearful of that shame and fear. And part of what I'm witnessing too this morning is just a growth in my life and an understanding of the power of this God who I call Father, who calls me his beloved son, who mothers me in ways that I have never been mothered, fathers me in ways I have never been fathered, that he is growing that sense in me and creating in me a great thankfulness for the trials he's taking me through, the discipline he's giving me, because he, as only a true father, when I had that sense of God holding my hand, his words were, what father does not want to heal his child? What father does not want to guide him in the best ways? What father does not want to purge everything out of his life or her life? But what father, Paul, I am wanting to root out everything in you that stands between you and me. And I am growing in my thankfulness for that. I am growing in my understanding and delight in the gift of his discipline, his admonishment, his work in my life. I grew up in a family where discipline was a big word. And my family, my father particularly, was an extremely disciplined man. So I grew to hate that word. I grew to believe that that word was manipulative in its essence. And it's been a great gift of God, the provision of him to open myself up to an understanding that God's discipline is nothing like I had ever seen. I had not seen true discipline. I had not seen true love. And God is saying, I am giving that to you, and I am letting you see the fullness of that in my love for you. Because God's love is all about a blossoming and a developing in me. And a key thing that I've been growing in also is this understanding that I am a beloved son no matter where I am. I have spent a lot of time, even subconsciously, I believe, thinking that I had to get to a certain place to really be beloved. And in fact, of course, I never would achieve that. I felt for a long time, I'm not at the table of the feast. I'm not where everybody else is and getting what God's offering, because I'm, well, I can't say that word. I just have a lot of stuff in me that God doesn't like. And God says, no, son, that's not true. You're my beloved son. I've already put fertile soil in you. Receive it. Know that my presence in you is about blossoming and growth. And even when I come to you and say, Paul, we got to stop that. We got to carve that out. We got to root that out. I am doing that because I love you. Never hear that as anger. Never hear that as punishment. Never hear that as do this or else. And yet, Paul, I demand that of you. I demand you to grow. To receive more of me, you have to grow. I have to root out this. You have to keep saying yes to me so that you understand what I am trying to give to you. Now, this requires a lot of vulnerability, clarity, and honesty on my part before the Father. My vulnerability declares desire and need and is completely open-handed. It is based on faith and hope, but it is also dependent and expectant. Because of the Lord's promises, because of the Lord's precepts and guidance, versus the failures that I've experienced from my earthly fathers and mothers and teachers and leaders. As I continue to say yes to God's love, his work, the life he has for me, part of what's going on, and the reason this takes a long time, is the habituated patterns of living in all the years that I was trying to solve this for myself. Now, you know, no metaphor. We can search for metaphors a whole life long and never, it's like a thimble compared to the ocean of God. But one that I've been thinking about a lot recently is how when you sand down through an old finish, through many, many layers of paint, for instance, on the table that you want to get down to the true wood, you can sand for hours. You can sand for hundreds of hours. And at times it looks like you're not making any progress at all. And I can focus on that. I can focus. Look at all the work I've done here. And all I see is a bunch of scratches right now. But God says, no, you're looking at things from your measures. You have to see them from my measures. Everything we're doing, it's not like you haven't been sanding, Paul. Don't think this doesn't look any different than it did yesterday, doesn't look any different than it did 5 years ago. No, Paul, I'm growing you. I want you to rejoice in that. Stop trying to pay attention to what's happening and in the past. Look for where I'm taking you. Trust me. If you say you trust me, Paul, you have to rest in the assurances. And as these songs we sang this morning, my ways are perfect, Paul. My ways are perfect. Do you believe that? So therefore, I'm growing in the sense and in a rejoicing and understanding that where I am today, this moment here, where I was yesterday, where I will be tomorrow in my struggles, and anything that God's doing with me is exactly where God wants me. Even when I know I'm struggling to be open-handed with God, even when I know I'm medicating, I've slipped, even when I know I'm being resistant or I'm trying to play those little mental games. Well, I hope you all do too, because it makes me feel better about myself. Those little games where I think I'm trying to cut a shorthand, get past it. Well, I keep reading Psalm 139. I keep reading 1 Thessalonians 5. I keep reading... But God knows me better than I know myself. God keeps challenging me to say, Paul, there's nowhere you can go far enough that I won't take you further. You got to trust what I am doing in your life. Stop resting in your own abilities to understand, get a grasp on this. That's not what this is about. It's about you continuing to release yourself fully into me. We talked 4 weeks ago about the process that this is, and it is. It's a long process. And that's okay. God keeps saying to me, Paul, rejoice in the process. It's what I'm giving you to change you. Don't fight it. Don't analyze it. Don't measure it. Rejoice in the process. Rejoice where you are. So God is strengthening spiritual muscles to strengthen my soul. He's strengthening my human heart into a kingdom servant heart every moment of every day. Because also what's happening, God keeps showing me, Paul, sometimes when you focus on yourself, you forget that I have you here to help others, to speak and pray to others, for others, to serve them. I'm doing the same thing in you while you do that. Don't think this is a either-or situation. I'm constantly doing this. So as I pray for the fruits of the Spirit in my life, and some of the specific ones right now are about peace and patience, self-control, but it's simultaneous with that. I am to be walking, serving, rejoicing in Him, giving, 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 learning that it's not all about me. As His daughters and sons, we are God's image bearers, His emissaries, His representatives, His agents to show, to serve, to love. We are God's poetry. Each of us is a poem, portraying and witnessing to His love, His work, and His purposes for His glory. Amen.
This is my friend Dawn. Lord, I just thank you that Dawn's able to share out of this journey she's been on, and we just pray for her as well, Lord, that all the life that's been flowing in her would be evident to us as she shares now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thanks, Paul. Paul is an old friend of lots and lots of years, and it's just a pleasure to see God at work in his life. I think Paul and I met when he was 19 and I was 18. So I actually really have watched God kind of take over. And it's just a huge, huge joy and blessing to see that. So I've spoken before about how the birth of our sweet little special needs granddaughter on the heels of my ordination 16 months or so ago, caused me to do some deep soul searching. And I don't plan to go into that in great detail right now, but out of my own confusion and pressing into the Lord, trying to understand, okay, so what's going on here? I asked the Lord a lot of questions. And most of them were around the question, okay then, what's my spiritual relationship supposed to be to my church right now? What just happened? And as you might imagine, I had a lot of ideas about how I was going to serve my congregation after I was ordained. And suddenly I felt like I was just completely sidelined. One of my struggles in my relationship with God is that I frequently come to the Lord with a scarcity mindset. Okay, Lord, you have lots of really, really good things out there, but they're not for me. They're for others. And sadly, I think that I was kind of back at square one, same old, when I came to the Lord with all of these things that were going on. But slowly, as I kept coming to him with that confusion and I think not a little bit of anger, frustration, uncertainty, slowly I began to understand, okay, Don, you thought that some things came along with this new role, being an ordained deacon in the Anglican Church. You thought you knew what that would look like. So are you ready now for me to tell you what I had in mind for that to look like? And by the way, just to clarify, what was pulled out from underneath my feet was my time. I suddenly had to step up and step into being there for my son, my daughter, their daughter-in-law, their two older children, while Evie remained in the hospital for the first 5.5 months of her life. Because when she was born, I needed to be more of a mom and a grandma. I was real familiar with those roles. I like them. But I wasn't looking for them to be my full-time job. So instead of talking to the Lord about what I now couldn't do, I started to ask the Lord, well, what can I do? Seems like I wasn't going to have the kind of freedom that I thought I was going to have, which required a certain amount of time and freedom in my schedule. And I felt like I didn't have very much capacity even to hear the emotional needs of people around me, because I felt like my own family just took a lot of my own capacity, my emotion. I just didn't feel like I had a lot of reserve. Well, I've never been much of a list prayer. I'm not attracted to praying down a list over and over again. Yet what I felt the Lord was saying to me is, hey, you can pray for your congregation. And actually, when I understood that, I was actually kind of excited about it. So I got a hold of a list of the members and the regular attenders, including all of the children, and I began to make a daily habit of praying for everyone by name. And the other freedom that I felt that the Lord was giving to me when he said, I'd like you to do this, is, by the way, Don, this is not prayer closet kind of praying. I actually want you to tell people that you're praying for them. Just go ahead and let people know that they're being prayed for. So how does one do that? Well, I don't know what it would look like for you. For me, I just would simply take my list and I would quiet my heart before the Lord and I would just say, well, what's on your heart, Lord, for this particular community? And then I would just wait until I felt like I heard that. Then I would read through the list of names. Then I would pray that again, kind of sandwiching everyone in what I felt was the Lord's heart for them. There's a lot of scriptures that are printed in your handouts today, and many of them reflect the Apostle Paul's heart for congregations. We use these prayers oftentimes as prayers for individuals, and they are, because a congregation is individuals, but Paul prayed for churches. In Galatians 4:19, Paul says, "My little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." Paul was writing to his spiritual children, and they were being led astray by others. They were being led back to the law and giving up the freedom of the grace that they knew was possible in Christ. And Paul writes to them from a mother's pleading heart, the heart that knows her child because she has literally been integral to the formation of that child. And so it was with Paul. These were his people, his children. Listen to how N.T. Wright translates verses 19 and 20 and ask me if he doesn't sound just like a mom. "My children, I seem to be in labor with you all over again until the Messiah is fully formed in you. I wish I were there with you right now and could change my tone of voice. I am really at a loss about you." There's three things that I think we need to hear from this. First of all, God's heart is devoted to us. He was not caught off guard when these two events dovetailed in my life and seemed to conflict with one another. I believe his good purposes for me that he wanted to give me heart for the people. Number two, the Apostle Paul's deep heart motive for the Galatians was for the formation of Christ in them. Paul discerned God's heart for them, and he labored for them that they would know it too. Number three, this brief expression of Paul's passionate heart answers the question, what kind of person am I going to be? And the answer for all of us, I hope, is one in whom Christ is being formed. So as I began to pray for the congregation and God's devoted heart for me, the heart prayers that I knew from the Word of God and from the formation of Christ in me and in others, things began to emerge as I prayed. And I believe one of the reasons that I wasn't to keep my praying secret was that not only did the people need to know that they were being prayed for, but I needed to understand that as a deacon, I was an instrument of God's love. God assured me that when I told people that I was praying for them, that it wasn't bragging about praying. God wanted them to know. After all, the Apostle Paul's prayers are all highly public. You just go ahead, pick up your Bible. You can read them and pray them anytime you want. So this was for me a new way of learning to pray in the Spirit. It's a different kind of listening because I was listening for the whole group, for the congregation. Yet, of course, it is individuals. And as I prayed and as I had opportunities to listen to people, I began to know specific needs. And with the busyness of caring for small children, my grandchildren, helping with laundry and meals, running errands, going down to the hospital, I could be praying. I didn't have to stress about it. I could just let the Lord bring people to mind, and then I could pray for them. But you know what else was really fun about this for me? For this past year, I would take my list, it was several pages long, and I would just ask the Lord what's on his heart, and then I would just write like a phrase or a word down the right-hand side, kind of filled up that whole first page in the last year. And these were phrases like, give us hearts to worship you, Lord, or compelled by love, or holiness, or disciples. And as I was preparing my little part for this morning's teaching, I did a quick Google search with a title something like The Apostle Paul's Prayers for Churches, and I found one list online that was entitled 10 Powerful Prayers the Apostle Paul Prays Over God's People. You gotta hear them. Number one, he thanks God for them. Number two, he prays for their wisdom and knowledge. Number three, he prayed they'd be full of hope. Number four, he prayed for peace and unity. Number five, he prayed they'd be strengthened with the Spirit's power. Number six, he prayed they'd abide in Christ. Number seven, he prayed their love for others would grow. Number eight, he prayed for their righteousness and purity. Number nine, he prayed they'd overflow with praise to God. Number 10, he prayed for opportunity to minister to them. You know why I found that list exciting? Those are the things that the Lord laid on my heart to pray. Those are the kinds of things that are written down the right-hand side of my first page. And that's exciting for lots of reasons. One is I know the scripture. I know Paul's prayers, so God can bring them to mind. But also because the Spirit agrees with the Scripture. When we ask the Holy Spirit how to pray, he's not going to tell me something different than what the Scripture teaches us. And of course, it is really confirming to know that you're praying with God's heart for his people. I believe that God was able to use the converging of my ordination and my granddaughter's birth to birth in me a freedom to let the Lord give me a new thing for our congregation. He wanted to make sure I was less oriented to the tasks of being a deacon and more oriented to the heart for his people. And of course, the congregation is individuals. And when we, oftentimes when we're in a crowd, like you all are right now, we take comfort in the wrong ways, in the anonymity of being in that crowd. And that doesn't work for God. He knows us, and he wants us to know him. So even as I'm praying for the congregation as a whole, God is bringing to my attention from his heart ways to reach out to individuals or additional ways to pray for them, and I'm going to limit myself to three examples. One, a young dad who I learned had a history of unemployment and underemployment surfaced as someone I was led to pray for more often. And as I prayed for him, I understood in prayer that the real issue in his current job was actually an issue of justice. He was being treated unjustly. And I talked to him about that, and he said, yeah, that's actually what's going on here. So, of course, my prayers for him shifted. But what was so beautiful is later he sought me out to tell me a way in which the Lord had just moved in his own heart to know God's love for him. It wasn't about his job. It was about God making himself known to him again in his deep love for him. Second, another young family experiencing a rare form of cancer in the father. The Lord brings that young man to my mind quite often and in beautiful ways. But what's really sweet to me is that their young son, this year a second grader, has sought me out twice to let me know how to pray for his dad. And this is not a young boy who I've had in a Sunday school class, or I don't have another relationship with him. But he has been around. When I've talked with his parents, he knows that I'm praying for them. Actually, he knows that I'm praying for him. And I think it's remarkable that a little second grader will seek out somebody to say, did you know that my dad is probably going to have a stem cell replant? Can you pray about that? I think that's pretty amazing. Third, in my role as a deacon, I'm often in the front of the church, behind the altar set for the Eucharist. And I look out at the people, and I love them. I know them, and they know I'm praying for them. And when they come forward to receive the bread, I know their names, and I feel God's heart for them. So a big piece of what I'm saying to you is that I've learned to trust the Holy Spirit in different ways. I know many times I've prayed for gifts of the Spirit in my life, and I believe that we are to pray for those because the Lord delights in giving them. But in the experiences I've just related to you, the Lord is letting me in on the fruit. He's changed my heart in ways of the fruit of the Spirit, and he's changing his people as they experience more of Christ in their lives.
If I didn't know that it was right to get up and kind of wrap things up, I would just as soon leave it with what you two have said. I just feel full, really, from both of you. And what I am going to try to do is touch on some things in the handout that you have called Beyond All Measure, Interceding with the Holy Spirit. It's written out because there's a lot that the Lord could expand on if you take some time to just pray through it, read through it on your own. But I wanted to highlight the things that I think the Lord just given me to highlight. And I think there are references to both Paul and Dawn of ways that the Holy Spirit works in us. And I just also have a story of my own from over the Christmas holidays that I want to fold in. So you can follow along or not. I'm just going to touch on things, as I said, and maybe highlight a few things. So the scripture that I have been working with is Romans 8:26-28 about the deep travailing prayer of the Holy Spirit, and that he prays according to the will of God. That's the prayers that he is praying in us, the will of God. And the result of whatever is prayed will be the love of God being manifest in some way in the life of that person. So with that in mind, I just want to read this first paragraph. Making room for the Spirit. Perhaps God is leading you into a season of training or renewed understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit, both in your formation and in your prayer life. So Paul is formation and dawn in her prayer life. The Lord is working in them. As we see the Apostle Paul's letters, he was a man who combined the fullness of the life of Christ in his inner man with devotion to loving and nurturing believers. His ministry sprang from the love and purity of Christ living in him. He was also the one who taught the early church and succeeding generations how to embrace the work of the Holy Spirit as the essential provision of God for what the church was meant to be. So this handout is an outline of ways to expand our boundaries and measures in prayer. One of the main, probably the main message that I have and that's in the handout is the invitation to a practice of asking and welcoming the Spirit's nurture in our prayer lives. So it's a lot about just when we open the door to ask him to do something, he is free to come in and teach us something new. So the idea of training is that the Holy Spirit calls us to exercise prayer in ways that build it into us and help us to understand. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I think I'll probably not even be using my notes. The Holy Spirit prays in many different ways, and we can step in and try to do them, but we will find that it takes time and it takes knowing the ways of the Spirit and the personality of the Spirit. The Spirit is both a trainer and the expression of God's loving heart. And the training that he will give us is a personal training. One question that I think we all need to ask frequently is, teach me to pray, Lord. Train me to pray according to Father's heart and will. So we co-labor with the Holy Spirit. The more we learn and partner with him in prayer, we are praying the prayers of his heart. He sensitizes us to the nuances of his own voice and his emotions and his presence with us. A lot of it is just being able to sense what the Holy Spirit is saying, but also the heart of what's going on in a situation. The more we pray, the more we wait on him, the more we're just moving with him, and we don't need so many words because the Spirit himself is moving and praying through us. Our training in prayer, and this is my reflection, will be tailored to us. That I find more and more the Lord works with me in terms of how I'm wired. How do I think? What is my communication style? What moves me? In light of my personal history, how do I identify with the need of someone else so that the Lord can involve me in intercession with that person? What are my spiritual gifts, strengths, and skills? What training belongs to God's particular calls on my life? I think just in that list alone, we can hold our lives before the Lord and say, Lord, tailor what you're doing to these gifts. Lift them out of my life. Exercise who you've made me to be. Use my history. Use my story that I might identify with people who need what you did for me. And I think Paul's talk is really, I mean, he really can speak to people who have father wounds because he's speaking out of a lot of healing that the Lord's done in his life. Asking him to teach us is a launching out. He is the one who searches all things. And I included there from 1 Corinthians 2 the most wonderful paragraph about the searching out that the Holy Spirit does. And when we kind of get rooted in that idea, we will go to him all the time and say, Lord, Holy Spirit, what are you seeing here? What are you, what do you want to show me as you're searching me out and also the situation that I'm praying about? And I want to just share about what the Lord did for me, just a story from before Christmas. And a lot of it included the Lord engaging my emotions. I felt like the Lord was asking me if I would pray for the person whose name I had drawn in our gift exchange. It happened to be one of my nephews. And of course, I said yes. The Lord did ask me and said it would be an assignment. And I could have said no, but I said yes. And I thought I was kind of braced for, oh, it's going to be kind of a weight to carry. But I was just amazed at how welcome those times were and how clear it was that the Lord was saying, pray for him today. And I would just wait on the Lord. And it wasn't words so much as I began to have impressions of this person I've known since he was born. And I just want to say some details to encourage you. It was less a discipline than just being available to take time. And I started finding the Lord's love flowing through me like it never had before for this precious nephew. I saw him truly for the first time through God's eyes. I saw the inside view instead of my observations and conclusions over a lifetime. And the Lord began to show me a picture of him standing in this house that he had bought and just saying, he's in transition and I want to repurpose his gifts. And I just began to sense the nuanced way in which the Lord loves this young man. And this isn't just my story. I'm trying to say this is how the Holy Spirit, many of you will go, yes, I've experienced that. But the love of the Spirit will just unfold situations and people's hearts before us. And suddenly find it's not hard to love them and it's not hard to pray for them. And that was my experience. I had a new respect for him, and I wanted for him what God wanted for him. I felt the faith. Someone who had felt distant and closed was now to me who God saw. So I did pray those things, and come Christmas Day, I mean, this will seem small to you, but there was a whole couch open. We were going to open gifts, and there was no one sitting next to him. And I mean, it just doesn't happen that way. He's always engaged doing something, and I just felt like the Lord said, I've saved that place for you. Just go sit there. So I did, and, you know, it's not that we can't talk, but I had bought him a gift to IKEA, a gift card, and when he opened it, he was just so ecstatic because he had something he wanted to buy there, and his birthday was 3 days from that time, and he said, oh, this is just perfect. So it opened a little talk about his house, but it was other things that happened during that time. I was next to him, and the Lord just closed a gap that has been there for a long time, and I could say more, but I want to just say there's this ground in prayer now that I can go back anytime and pray for him again. And it's just all there. The heart of God is there and the devotion is there. So I hope that you have stories like that to tell. If you don't, I'm just going to sail through the rest of this and just say that I think My gift in prayer, there's a section here about different kinds of calls, and this is an example of what God has been showing me lately, like I'm a paratrooper dropped into situations, and I'm there for a time, and I know that I'm only there for a time, but I open my eyes to what's going on there, and I listen for who I'm to pray for. And the first time the Lord did this specifically not long ago, I prayed for everyone in a group I was meeting with. And with only one person, I got to tell them what it was that I had prayed for them because they needed to hear it. But all the rest were just prayers. And then I was up and out, and the thought of having to pray for them was not on my heart anymore. And that's just one way that God can lead us. Some people are go-to people that will intercede and carry us and walk with us over time. And some people have a truly lifelong call to intercession. And I know a couple who that is all they do, and the Lord sends them to other countries, and when they're there, he says, okay, this is why you're there. And the reason I am saying this to you now is just the whole of this message is ask the Lord more questions about prayer, but also ask him what you're sent to do. Ask him if there's a special call that he has for you that hasn't unfolded because perhaps you've just never been open to it. And I hope that you will read this. There are a lot of hard questions that we need to ask at times. And I'm going to close with those because they sort of embrace a lot of, I think, the reason why the Holy Spirit doesn't get to use us more. But some times in the church, this is kind of our attitude. The Holy Spirit is not for us. Do we realize that the Holy Spirit is not an optional component of our faith? The Lordship of Christ is facilitated in our lives and ministry by the Holy Spirit. Just moving down, have you compartmentalized the Holy Spirit? Have I relegated him to a lesser place as part of the Trinity? Have I stepped back, content with my experience as it is, when you have called me to keep growing? And I would say that's one of the measures the Lord touched me with, is I'm not real hungry for more than what I have. And I just felt like I had to say, Lord, I would be willing if you want to deepen, broaden my prayer life in some way. And this is on page 3. Ask the Lord to deepen your experience with him, the fruits of the Spirit in your character, the gifts of the Spirit in your serving, and the training of the Holy Spirit. So let me just pray for us right now. Lord, as best we can, we invite you to open us to the possibility that you have more for us. Personally, a lot more for us, that you have more for the people around us, Lord, as we learn to be intercessors in deeper ways. So, Lord, we pray that we would just be responsive to you, and Holy Spirit, that you would have the center role in our prayer lives, your love, your power, and your deep, deep knowledge of us and of what we need. In your precious name we pray, amen. Well, it is journaling time now, and of course, the journaling questions reflect what you've heard. And I just wanted to direct you. There are lots of questions, too many to answer. And partway down page 2, the back side of the page, is just, do whatever you're led to do. But there's also a question, just what else is on your heart today? In the quiet, let the Lord's presence settle on you. Listen for whatever he might say to you. You may just want to be with him in this quiet space, or maybe dialogue him, or just journal and pray about areas of your life where you have a need today. So don't feel like this is an assignment, but just take it as it comes to you, and look at the questions at home on your own if you need to. We just ask that you really keep the quiet in here and throughout the building. The Lord is talking to all of us, and we'll ring a bell in about 40, 45 minutes so that you'll know to come back here. So just peace of the Lord be with you as you go and have time with him.